like atomic fragments. First, as already observed, they tend to hide in rather strange places. But even if you settle down and read both volumes of the Dictionary of Obsolete and Provincial English cover to cover, as I, for some reason, have, you will come across the problem of arrangement, which is obstinately alphabetical. The problem with the alphabet is that it bears no relation to anything at all, and when words are arranged alphabetically, they are uselessly separated. In the OED, for example, aardvarks are 19 volumes away from the zoo, yachts are 18 volumes from the beach, and wine is 17 volumes from the nearest corkscrew. One cannot simply say to oneself, "I wonder whether there's a word for that," and turn to the dictionary. One chap did recently read the whole OED, but it took him a year, and if you tried that every time you were searching for the perfect word, you might return to find that the conversation had moved on. The world is, I am told, speeding up. Everybody dashes around at a frightening pace, teleconferencing and speed dating. They bounce around between meetings and brunches like so many coked-up pinballs, and reading whole dictionaries is, for busy people like you, simply not feasible. Time is money, money is time, and these days nobody seems to have much of either. Thus, as an honorable piece of public service, and as my own effort to revive the world's flagging economy through increased lexical efficiency, I have put together a book of hours, or horlogicon. In medieval times there were books of hours all over the place. They were filled with prayers, so that at any time of the day the pious priest could whip out his horlogicon, flip to the appropriate page, and offer up an orison to St. Pantoufle, or whoever happened to be holy at the time. Similarly, my hope with this book is that it will be used as a work of speedy reference. What's the word? You will think to yourself. Then you will check your watch, pull this book from its holster, turn to the appropriate page, and find Antigentacular, Gonguzler, Thingamort, or whatever it might be. This is a book of the words appropriate to each hour of the day. Importantly, as I have noted, it is a reference work. You should on no account attempt to read it cover to cover. If you do, hell itself will hold no horrors for you, and neither the author nor his parent company will accept liability for any suicides, gun rampages, or crazed nudity that may result. Of course, there is a slight problem with attempting to create an efficient reference work of this kind, namely that I have to know what you are doing at every moment of the day. This isn't quite as hard as it sounds. I've consulted all of my friends, and both of them have told me much the same story. They get up, they wash, they have breakfast and head off to work in an office. Neither of them is quite clear what they do there, but they insist that it's important and involves meetings and phone calls, work-shy subordinates and unruly bosses. Then they pop to the shops, eat supper, and as often as not, head out for a drink. It is on this basis that I have made a game attempt at guessing your hypothetical life. Some things I have quite deliberately ignored. For example, there are no children because they are much too unpredictable. I have included a chapter on courtship for reasons explained at the time. I haven't quite been able to decide whether you are married. Sometimes you are and sometimes you aren't, although I am sure that you must possess a firmer opinion. Throughout, I have taken the liberty of imagining you as being half as lazy, dishonest, and gluttonous as I am. You have to write about what you know. If you are a piece of virtue into whose wipe-clean mind sin and negligence have never entered, I apologize. This is not the book for you, and I hope you have kept the receipt. And, of course, the nature of your job is a bit of a mystery and a sticking point. Though most of this is being written in the British Library, as that is where the dictionaries are, the British Library is in fact very like an office, except that nobody is allowed to talk. It has all the usualness, that is, the lady on my left has spent the last hour on Facebook, occasionally chortling quietly, and it has all the usual eccentricities, that is, the chap on my right has all sorts of behemothic tomes on the theories of post-Marxist historiography out on his desk, but is in fact reading Sharpe's Revenge under the table.